thank you for the opportunity to be here and now going into your word. And we just pray that you would eliminate all distractions. Now just, Lord, speak to us through the power of your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, special hello today to Pastor Baldwin's family that's here. So Mrs. Chan's here. Grace is there. Just wave to everybody. That's Grace. That's Baldwin's sister from Northern California. She flew down with her mom to accompany her mom. Just an example of a great daughter to fly down for a couple of days and then go up tomorrow. Okay, so today we're in a sermon, and it's entitled Growing as Christians. All right, so you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. That's the passage we're going to be on today. I'll throw some of that on the screen, but I think it'd be good if you open up in your Bibles and see it in context in your own Bibles. So let me start out like this. Okay, so let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hand. You probably don't want to, in fact. But how many of you struggle with jealousy? Jealousy. I think that if we are honest, we would say that we all struggle with jealousy to one degree or another. And it's interesting, isn't it, that you don't have to even teach a baby to respond with jealousy. It's just kind of a natural instinct of human beings, right? So my daughter, who's going to almost be 2 years old, Jubilee, many of you know her, she's the smiliest, happy baby that I have ever met. I know that I'm probably biased because I'm her dad, but it's true. She's probably the smiliest, happiest baby that you'll ever meet. But even Jubilee, at times, responds with jealousy. So I just want to tell you a little example. Logan, who just got dedicated today, when he was first born, me and Evangeline went to visit David and Lily and Logan at their house, and we brought Jubilee with us. And so, you know, all the attention was on Logan. We were holding Logan, taking pictures of Logan, etc. And then we'll take a look at this two-second video that we took to see what happens. Now, I'm not sure, but I have a feeling there was a little bit of jealousy that was there. Right, and so I just show you this as an example that, come on, all of us, we struggle with jealousy to one degree or another. And Paul was speaking into this very issue in this passage. And so we're going to see what Paul says about jealousy, how to grow in this area in particular in this passage. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. Okay, let's read it out loud together. It'll be up on the screen in the NIV translation. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. Let's read it out loud together. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So the situation that Paul is addressing in this passage, in this church, the Corinthian church, is he is addressing the situation of jealousy. And the more specific situation is in verse 4, for what, when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? And so there were some people in the Corinthian church who were saying that Paul was a premier leader of the church. There were some people in the church who were saying, no, Apollos is the premier leader of the church. And there began to be some, you know, division about this issue of jealousy. How many of you guys remember when the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq on the team, right? There was the good old days. So there was Kobe and there was Shaq. And, you know, there was this question, whose team is this? Is this Kobe's team or is this Shaq's team? Same situation happened in the Corinthian church. Two alpha males, Paul and Apollos. Whose church is this? Is Paul's? Apollos and different people? We're having different things to say about that. That was a situation that was in the Corinthian church. Now, for us, as we're applying this into our own lives, I would say we don't really struggle with this same situation, right, in our church, in our context. But there's other issues of jealousy, other situations that we might face, that their jealousy pops up. And Paul's speaking into this about how we can grow and mature as Christians in particular in this area. But if we don't struggle with jealousy, we would definitely struggle with the overarching problem, overarching struggle that the Corinthian church had. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. This is the overarching struggle that the Corinthian church had. Let's read it together. Brothers and sisters, I cannot address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. So the overarching problem was that there was worldliness. Or Paul was giving an illustration saying, I can't even give you solid food. I need to give you milk because you're struggling with worldliness. Or to put it simply, they were struggling with spiritual maturity. And so Paul's speaking into their lives, to the Corinthian Christians. God included this in the scripture for us, where there's all sorts of things in our lives that we need to mature in. And Paul begins to tell us how we can mature as Christians in the issue of jealousy or any other worldliness in the following verses, in verses 5 through 9. So he begins to answer the question, how can we mature as Christians in the rest of this passage? Can we read verses 5 through 9 again? Look for this answer. How are we, or how is a Corinthian Christian going to mature as Christians and the application to us? Let's read it again, 5 through 9, answer to this question. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So there's this imagery here in this passage in verse 9 that says that the Corinthian Christians were God's field. And so kind of envision this. It was like a field, and there was the Corinthian Christians. The Corinthian Christians would have been the plants or the trees. There's other areas of the Bible that speak about that illustration, that they were the plants or the trees. And there are certainly that there were workers, right, in the field of these Corinthian Christians that came along, like this passage talks about, to water the plants, to plant new crops, to fertilize. All sorts of workers came along the way. And Paul's pointing out to the Corinthian Christians who were struggling with worldliness, specific to the issue of jealousy, and he says in verse 5, I call for them to be servants. And he was speaking to all of them, because he said later on to each one the task that was assigned to him or her. And so he is calling those Christians, the Corinthian Christians who are struggling with this worldliness or jealousy, to be servants in order to grow towards maturity in Christ. Let me put it like this for point number one. How do we grow as Christians? We find ways to minister to others what we have already received. The deposits that God gives into our lives, the gospel message certainly, the love of God from other people, biblical truth that we have hidden in our hearts, we begin to share those things with other people. When I was meditating on this passage, I kept thinking of the Dead Sea illustration. Some of you are familiar with it. God placed into the Holy Land literally a geological illustration of this principle, of this truth. The Jordan River, fresh water, if I can put it like this, fresh living water, flows into another area called the Dead Sea. And because there's no outlet in the Dead Sea, all the salinity begins to build up to the point that it becomes toxic, that all the living organisms die out. And God speaks this truth to us, and God's speaking this truth to the Corinthian Christians here in this situation as God's calling them out of a life of worldliness, calling them to maturity. And God speaks this into our lives. How do we grow as Christians? As we begin to serve, we begin to output into other people's lives what God has deposited into our lives, whatever that might be. But as we begin to do that, Paul is saying, is a pathway towards maturity. Now let Holy Spirit speak to you about what that application looks like for you and your specific context. But let me make a concrete application to this. And let me speak to those in this room who aren't yet serving in some ministry in some way helping to build God's crops or God's plants. And let me also speak to those of you who maybe have been serving, but you might have some more capacity to serve. All right, so this next part is not necessarily for those of you who are already serving with all of your hearts, engaged in ministry. Obviously, listen in, but this portion may not be especially applicable to you. Now, we have our Light Up Walnut outreach coming up. This is our largest outreach of the year. In the last 2 years, we had 2,000 people come onto our campus. Lots of them were people that were pre-Christians. Lots of them, people that had no exposure to the gospel, definitely not attending a church, maybe no relationship with Jesus. And we have the opportunity to output to these people, an opportunity to serve them with whatever we have received. And God's giving us this opportunity to respond in this way of what this passage calls us to. For us, as we're called to grow in maturity, one way that we can grow in maturity, as Paul's pointing out, is we begin to output. So right in front of you, inside of the holders that are in the chairs, is a sign-up sheet. So for those of you who have capacity to serve more, I would encourage you to sign up. And you can sign up for that. Then there's a box that's in the back. You could drop it in the back. You could drop it in the offering box in the lobby as well. You could give it to one of our leaders. But I want to bring this to a concrete application for us. That Paul is saying, how do we grow out of worldliness? How do we mature as Christians? One way is this call to do each of us doing our assigned task, each of us serving, each one of us outputting, not becoming the Dead Sea. And so I want to bring that application to us. Now, so far, this pathway towards maturity, there's a part that we play in it. But God also plays a part in it. And actually, he plays the most important part. All right, so let's read verses 6 through 7. Let's read this again out loud. This is God's part, the most important part. Verses 6 and 7. Let's read it together. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Certainly, we just pointed out, Paul and Apollos and the rest of the Corinthian church had their part to play. But we're pointed out here in verses 6 and 7 that the one who makes it grow is God. This is a very short little section of scripture, right? Two times. In verse 6 and verse 7, it's pointing out that God is the one that makes it grow. Let me put it like this for point number 2. How do we grow as Christians? We partner with God. We have our part. But we partner with God, the one who helps us miraculously grow. I think I have a perfect illustration here to illustrate what Paul was trying to convey in this passage. So I by no means claim to be a gardener, by no means. But earlier this year, we had a patch of ground in our front yard where the flowers started thinning out. And so there's like bare patches. So we really needed those flowers to grow to fill up the bare areas. And you know, I don't claim to be a gardener at all, but I had heard of this product called Miracle-Gro. And so I got this product, and the way this works is you mix up the Miracle-Gro with some water. And then I go and I water the plants, kind of like Apollos, watering the plants, right? So there's a part that I play. And I'm here to maybe make a shameless plug for Miracle-Gro. This actually works. You know, I put it down, mix it up, water the plants. And next thing I know, it starts filling up the area, right? And I feel like there's something of this that Paul's trying to convey. We do have a part. Maybe like the whole Dead Sea thing, we need to serve. We need to find ways to serve. Our pathway to maturity, there's a part that we have to play. But there's a part that's separate from us where things miraculously grow, where it's God's part. And you might say, well, you know, this is obvious. You know, we learned this in first grade Sunday school. But I want to point out this dynamic that's between our part and also God doing his miraculous part. Last week, Pastor Lance was preaching at our anniversary service. And he talked about a call that God has to partner with us and a call for us to participate. God could just zap us and we would start growing. But God chooses to use people in our lives a lot of times. People that come alongside with us to minister to us, to pray for us. God calls us to come alongside some people to pray for them, to minister to them. God could just zap them. But God calls us to partner with him, the one who miraculously makes things grow. You know, recently, And we'll do this morning at the end of service. We've just been breaking people into groups. Just everybody, instead of doing the ministry time here with our ministry team, which I think has a lot of value, and of course we'll have times that we do that. But instead of that, just all of us start partnering with God. Let God put the miracle grow on us, but he wants to partner with us. Right? There was a part that Paul played and Apollos played. There was a part that I played in mixing this together and watering the plants. But so God wants to partner with us that his miracles begin to happen. And miracles begin to happen in people's lives, leading us towards maturity, breaking out of situations of worldliness, maybe jealousy or whatever the case may be. We partner with God, the one who helps us miraculously grow. One more thing about a pathway to maturity. Let's go back to verse 9. Verse 9 talks about God's field. Now, this is God's field. It's a great field, and it's going to produce the best crops. It's going to produce the award-winning crops. And so when these crops get produced in the Corinthian church or in VOH or whatever the kingdom of God, who gets the credit for it? Who gets the recognition? Who gets the praise? Is it going to be the guy that planted? Is it going to be the guy that watered? Is it going to be the guy that fertilized? Paul says this in verse 8. Let's read this out loud together. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. One purpose. And we know our one purpose, our overarching one purpose, overarching everything, is to glorify God. And Paul is calling the Corinthian church, and great things had happened in the Corinthian church. And great things were going to happen in the Corinthian church. And Paul said, when these great things begin to happen, make sure that you are aware of your one purpose, to glorify God. Let me put it like this for point number 3. How do we grow as Christians? We serve the Lord, and we give Jesus all the glory. Now, I especially feel like that this last point is really important for us in this season of our church, because a lot of great things have been happening in our church. Lots of momentum. There's ministries that are represented here that are led by some of you that are thriving, that there's lots of kingdom breakthrough. There's a lot of traction in. There's a lot of great things that have been happening today. In Hope Hall, we're going to share a little bit about vision for the next 1-2 years, this great progression that God has us on. And it might seem like first grade Sunday school. You might say, well, even the five-year-olds in Promised Land, they know to worship Jesus. They know to give Jesus all the glory and not to give it to some person. But I just need to point out, the Corinthian church had a problem with this. Right? The great things that were happening amongst them, the church that was planted in Corinth, they started giving praise to Paul. They started giving praise to Apollos. And we need to guard our hearts with this. And it's not just church stuff, right? Because in this room, there's a lot of new things. Even the baby dedications, a new baby, lots of new babies lately, new relationships, new marriages, new jobs, new doors and opportunities, new situations that are happening in our lives and in our families. And sometimes we need to recenter ourselves of who starts getting the glory. Is it Paul? Is it Apollos? Is it someone else in the church? Is it someone else in our lives? Is it us? And Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthian church to recenter them, to make sure that they had their hearts in the right place, because he wanted them to go towards a pathway of maturity, and that pathway to maturity was that all praise belonged to Jesus. And God's speaking that to our hearts as a church, but also in our families, also in our personal lives. As we close out this service, we're going to sing a song that most of you are familiar with, Worthy of My Praise. And I just felt like this would be a good opportunity for us to recenter, to make sure that good things that are happening in our ministries, the breakthroughs that are happening in our lives, in our families, make sure that Paul and Apollos are not getting the glory. Make sure that we're centering upon Jesus, and Jesus is getting the glory for these things and breakthroughs that are happening. And then after that, we will break up into groups, and we'll just pray for each other. And my encouragement is just partner with God and put the miracle grow of prayer and kingdom breakthrough into people's lives. That's the pathway to maturity, that God's breakthrough happens. Whether it's jealousy, other worldliness, other situations that are happening, let God make the breakthrough, but he wants to partner with us. All right, let's stand as we respond to God's word. I'll invite the worship team, if you can come up, prayer team, if you can come up too, and be ready to pray for people. For this first portion, most of you know the words of this song already. I would say just keep your eyes closed so that you could just really connect with God and recenter yourself. that maybe some areas where you've been taking the glory or maybe giving the glory to some other people or some other things, that you're recentering, putting the glory and putting the praise and credit and recognition unto Jesus. So, Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for your kingdom breakthroughs and the momentum in our church and in our lives. And we pray that you would recenter us now as we worship you, that we would be recentered in worship and praise, centered upon Jesus. And so, Father, I just want to represent our church to ask you for your forgiveness for ways that we might have taken the glory or given the glory away in other directions. Please forgive us. And in this moment right now, Jesus, we are giving you the glory. We are saying that you are the only one that is worthy of our praise. Receive this from our hearts. Recenter our hearts. Recenter our church upon you. In Jesus' name.